It's been a wonderful time to come back to Nampa, Idaho, and have a service with you. I remember last year I came, and we had a partnership Sunday, and it's great to come back and have a second year report to you. The weather here allows me to wear my suit that I could never imagine wearing this suit in Southeast Asia. And it also reminds me becoming a Korean pastor. Korean pastor wears a suit and a tie to preach. I thank my wife to give me a suit. It also reminds me to a little bit of exercise every day to fit in my suit. My family, hey, your screen is too bright. my pictures are too blurry. Greetings from my family. I have four children. Two of them are already graduated college, and the first one graduated college. Second one is in second year in college. The third one, Minje, is senior high, and the youngest, Gumju, is ninth grade. I'm proud of my, I can memorize all these grades. Southeast Asia is composed of five countries in Asia Pacific region that started from Thailand, Myanmar, Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. In fact, one of the Sunday school teachers helped the Sunday school students to understand the Southeast Asia, and they drew the map, and it was so beautiful. So I took that and make my presentation. So these five countries are called Indochina Peninsula, so between India and China. So help you understand those five countries. The message for today comes from Matthew chapter 4:19. Come, follow me. And Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men and women and children. Whoever follows Jesus. Jesus promised to make them fishers of something. This passage of scripture is in the context of where Jesus first calls his disciples. Well, I said I'm Korean. As a Korean, we, in the past few decades, we've been reading this passage of scripture in a different way. When we read this chapter 14, we're kind of focused on verses from 23 to 25, where Jesus began to preach, teach, and heal the people. Well, we Koreans are more like goal-oriented. We want to do something. So we want to see Jesus doing something. And we are amazed at Jesus teaching, preaching, and heals, and that was just a wonderful ministry that we want to follow. But later we learned, we Korean missionaries learned, that the mission statement of the Church of the Nazarene is to make Christ-like disciples in the nations. Well, it was not only Koreans, but we all Nazarenes tried to understand that making Christ-like disciples is the center of the work of the Jesus, and that was the Great Commission for all believers to follow. You go out and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them. So when having that in our minds, we begin to read this passage and in the context again. Instead of looking at verses from 23 to 25, we begin looking at those verses from 19 to 22, where we see that Jesus was first calling his disciples. Well, we thought that it was just a preparation of his ministry coming from verses 23. But later, we began to understand it is not just the preparation of his ministry, but it is the ministry of Jesus Christ. And it is the most important ministry of Jesus Christ because his focus was to make Christ-like disciples. Again, Koreans. We're coming from a Confucianist culture. We value the firstborn or the first in something. When we look at the first two disciples or four disciples of Jesus, we try to give some special meanings. They must be very special because they're the first to do disciples of Jesus. Amen? But when I look at the passage on verse 17, they are just ordinary people. In verse 18 says, Jesus was walking around and they were casting a net into the lake because they are fishermen. In that area, becoming fishermen is like becoming, how to call it, ordinary. You're just fishermen because everyone else are fishermen. We try to look at some special meanings. There must be special fishermen, but they're just fishermen. They're just fishermen, just ordinary people. But later, we learned that there is an extraordinary answer why Jesus called an ordinary fisherman. Apostle Paul taught us in 1 Corinthians chapter 27, chapter 1, verse 27, it says, let me read it for you, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Jesus was intentionally trying to look for some ordinary people because he wanted to show the world of his power and his plans through these ordinary people. In mission field, you have a privilege to see very ordinary people. Let me share a story of an ordinary missionary. I'm sorry for those who are listening online. This is a Creative Access Country Stories. So I ask the pictures were not streamed, but you can just imagine. Creative Access areas are those countries that the gospel is now prohibited. So you cannot preach and teach gospel or Jesus in public. We have one Korean disciple who were called to go to that Creative Access area. But he was too ordinary that our global missions and our Korean churches were not quite sure if he's really called by the Lord to that particular country. It's because you have an extra kind of qualification to serve in Creative Access countries. There are visa requirements, there are some restrictions, there are some perseverance. There's something that's supposed to be extraordinary. And that missionary seeing on your picture on your left is very ordinary person. Missionary deployment process is very long. And he was not that very good in speaking good English. So along the way, his application was dropped down. And he was praying and praying and praying, and he believed the Lord calls him to go. So without having a Nazarene deployment or missions deployment, he went to the country and started to learn the language and getting to know the people. 7 years later, I get to know him when I heard that he had a bad traffic accident in the city where he served. In that area, there was only one hospital that the doctor was an intern. He never had an experience of operating the problem that he had. When he had the car accident, his old ribs were broken, and one of the ribs spearing the lung, so they had to have some kind of surgery, the immediate surgery for that problem. But in that hospital, there was no doctor who can do that. He was transported to the capital city of the country in the car for 6 hours. Then even that capital city hospital were not able to operate him. So he came to Thailand. I met him after the surgery, and I was asking him, "Do you have any insurance?" And he said, "No." "What? You don't have insurance coming to mission field?" "Yeah, we don't have enough money to do that, so we just come." "How can you pay for this whole thousands of dollars?" And he did not have any idea. He was just an ordinary people, not just prepared for missions. Well, amazingly, the Lord healed him. And after 2 years, I met him again. And he called me, "You come over to our locations and try to see what's happening." So I came to that place and met another sharp young couple on our right. That missionary was a farmer in Korea, so he started a farming training program in the country, hoping that he could do some missions with this farming skill. 7 years later, he met a local person who does also farming business. They met each other when they tried to do a business in farming. And they get to know each other and say, "Oh yeah, your product is really good." After the business transaction is done, that the local person that I don't want to say the name for the security issue, ask him, "Sir, are you Christian?" Well, in that particular country, you should not say you're Christian. And that missionary over there was kind of freezed. Is he a policeman? Or do I have to tell that I'm Christian? So he was praying a little bit, and he just the Holy Spirit is hoping that the Holy Spirit give him an answer. And after a few seconds, he said, "Yes, I'm Christian." And this guy continued to ask, "Sir, are you a missionary?" Oh my goodness. If he's somebody, and if I say that I'm a missionary, then I'm probably kicked out. So he prayed again for a few seconds. "Lord, if this is your will be done." After 3 seconds, he said, "Yes, I'm a missionary from the Church of the Nazarene." "How do you know that?" And this young guy said, "You know, in this town, I'm also a Christian. I'm a pastor. In this small town, we know all about the foreigners, and we get to know you a couple years. And you know, you are different." "So what? Why am I different?" Most of the missionaries who come, and after 2 or 3 years, they start doing ministry. They share some resources, they start building churches, they do some ministry. But for you, 7 years, you did not do anything. Because I'm ordinary. I don't have the resources, I don't have the power, I just pray that the Lord will bring some ministry. The sharp young guy said, you know, you are wise. I was just wondering why you are so wise. Because in this country, if you do ministry in haste, it will be harmful, not only for you, but also for the local pastors and the Christians. And I see many missionaries, they begin to do something, want to do something, want to see something, without just waiting for Lord's leading. This local pastor said, I want to work with you. That's where this missionary called me, you come over, we have something to come. And I come, and I went there and met this young couple, and I was asking, what do you need? How can I help you? And he said, we need to train our disciples here. We do have a good disciples, but we do not have a good training programs. And I said, I'm a Bible college president. I teach Bibles. I train pastors in the Southeast Asia. We started there a training program first with the 4 leaders, and then after 4 leaders, the 4 leaders began translating the course of study handbook in their local language during the COVID, within COVID. Because we had nothing to do, we just translated that textbook. And then later, 4 leaders of that country with their translated course of study handbook, we helped them to train 13 their church planters in their province. And then they started another course of study for youth who want to become ministers and disciples of Jesus Christ. These people, after one course is done, they bring this 13 plus 14 disciples into the up north of the country and start evangelizing of 8 provinces in that country. The report was amazing. When they came back and they said hundreds of people were hungry in the Spirit of the Lord and they received Jesus as their personal Savior. Just one missionary. And in fact, he's now under our global missions and he's deployed the global missionary. So we take care of him, okay? But just one person, without having people's recognitions, because they're too ordinary, but he and his family followed the call of the Lord, and Jesus was using him amazingly, the work of that Creative Access country. Next January, we finally make an agreement with our general superintendent jurisdictions to visit that country and having the first, not the district assembly, but first pioneer meetings with 27 pastors and church planters. If that works well, we will give 13 pastors a district license under the Church of the Nazarene. And by 2025 January, we are praying with your prayer to start the first pioneer district in that country. Amen? This is our projection. This is our prayer. If God allows, with this ministry works, by 2024, at the first meeting, we will be recognizing 10 pastors, 15 churches, and 500 Nazarene members in that country. Praise the Lord. Amen. if we are ordinary and if we just follow the call of the Lord, we know that Jesus is going to use his mighty power to use these ordinary people for his great ministry. Amen? The second thing we learned in this passage of scripture, these ordinary disciples, when they are called, they left their boat and their net to follow Jesus. In verse 20, they said they left the boat. In verse 22, also, the other two disciples, they left their nets and the boats to follow Christ. For fishermen, nets and boats are everything. They grew up with these boats and nets. This is what they can do fishing. But when they are called, they left what they have and they follow Christ. Which means they are submitting everything of the authority and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and follow Jesus' way. To me, that is important. In our field, we have, next slide, we have a district called Myanmar Northern District. God gave this beautiful land for Bible college. We are so thankful that God allowed this land for training our pastors and building the churches there. But for 25 years, that piece of land becomes a battlefield. In that district, there are two groups of pastors and the churches were divided. And they're fighting over the land. And one said, we want to do that. The other said, no, you should do that. We should do this way. This is our way. We need to do that. We have to do this. Well, I'm telling you, this over the land for 25 years, people were fighting each other because they want to do with their own ways. Finally, after COVID, the district superintendent, or the local district superintendent, gave up. As a field strategy coordinator, I succeed. Well, we cannot have district superintendent, I become a district superintendent. The first meeting I'd get there and challenged our people, you guys, can we just leave what we want to do and try to pray and see how God leads us in his ways? We prayed for 2 days, and after 2 days, they come up with, yes, we should not fight over this land, but we need to train our young people. Praise the Lord. Let's bring young people and let's start training them. On April that year, we had a first youth training program, and amazed that we see that we have more than 150 youth gathered in that land for 5 days. We were training, we were worshiping, we're challenging these youth to follow Jesus Christ. We asked the pastors there, what else do you need? And they said, we need to train our pastors and our youth. Of course, this is a youth worship. Next slide, please. We bring them and start training discipleship, what it means to follow Jesus Christ. We're sharing the same passage of scripture as our theme. Come and follow me, Jesus said. We will make you disciples of Jesus Christ. Amazing things happening. They are repenting what they had before and try to follow the way of the Lord. This is a 10 of our ordination candidates for next year. In that particular culture, there is a tradition. In order for you to become an ordained pastor, you have to have a certain age. We have only 4 ordained elders in the district. The average age is 65 years old. So they're not considering enough or qualified to become ordained elder if you're not over 60 years old. You're 60. They're old. Look at that. There are 30s and 40s. In the whole year of training, we said, we respect your way. But this is what Jesus wants every disciple to follow. They finally agreed that these 10 people are qualified to be ordained by next January at the district assembly. The third thing that they want to do is that we want to do evangelism. Praise the Lord. We see some of the people around us, they are not Christians. We want to go and do some salvation camping. What is that? We go to the villages where there is no church. We bring the people and we train, we teach them the salvation message of Jesus Christ for 3 days. That looks very good if that's possible. But we need some funds. We praise the Lord. We have a NAMPA partnership funds for new pioneer areas. So we allowed one church to start a salvation camping. We start another church to salvation camping. Of this year, we allowed 8 churches to start 16 salvation campings. And we see tens of people were saved through their evangelism efforts. This is how God works. When we give up our own traditions, our own ways of doing ministry, and seeking after how the Lord leads us, if we follow the way of the Lord, and the Lord's gonna make it. Amen? I don't see the time. What time is it? Okay. The last story. Well, okay, this district, in 2022, they had 10 organized churches for over 25 years. This year, when they gave up their own traditions and their ways, look at this. I have a report that 10 organized churches have started 2 mission-type churches and 7 preaching points and 1 mission area. That happens in just this year. Amen? Is it only me surprised? Is something like that happening here in Nampa all the time? That's something extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit. We see because we give up our own ways and follow the way of the Lord. Amen? Amen. This is something that I want to come back and do reports for you. When we Southeast Asian ministry, not looking at our own perspectives, but give up our ways and try to train ordinary disciples that God called, and give up our own ways, but follow the ways of the Lord. The Lord has given us an amazing ministry outcomes. Can you go back to the map, please? When last year I came, I gave this map for you. By 2020, we dedicated these 14 new areas for the Lord. Lord, if this is your will, we want to start Nazarene churches in those 14 areas in this 5 country of our Southeast Asia field. Praise the Lord. Nampa First Church first responded. We want to come with you. So we have a first Nampa partnership with First Church, and we see a great movement of God and started a churches in these 14 areas Last year, finally, the college church responded, "We want to come again with you." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As I said, the churches are, the areas are developing. By 2025, we are hoping that in four areas, we will be starting the pioneer districts with your support, with your prayer. I thank you for your prayers and your support. There are amazing stories coming out of this ministry. This morning I shared two stories, and tonight I'm going to share three more stories, different stories. So if you can come tonight at 6 o'clock, you will see another, you will hear another three stories. But you know, it's hard to tell you all the stories, but by just giving a few stories in front of you, I am so humbled because we see these amazing works because somebody somewhere else prayed and gave their sacrifice for the Lord. When we walk together, when we pray together, the Lord is going to give us amazing movement of God through His people of God. Please continue to pray with this map. I hope next year I come back and give another amazing stories to share. To conclude my stories, I want to show you a video. Last September, after long COVID and military coup in Myanmar, we had a pastors' conference in 5 years. We're hoping then the pastors and our church planters can come in together and have a worship together. It was an amazing time. The first pastors' conference 2016, we had only 42 people came. In 2018, we have second pastors' conference, we have 76 people came. And this time, we had 225 pastors and disciples join us and worship together. Praise the Lord. Oh.
We're going to wait on the video and show it during the offering.
Okay. So, before you watch the video, you probably have an announcement. I'm going to go down.
We had a last minute adjustment on the video, Bill, that he didn't know about. We'll show the video as we take the offering today. And we invite you to come at 6. We're going to talk a little bit about some prayer requests and some prayer ministries that we hope to start here in our church to pray in a more systematically way about missions. The offering today is a personal offering, what we call a deputation offering. It helps missionaries. Bill is a missionary from Korea going to Southeast Asia. And I know that in our missionary years, our deputation funds were very important. We used to spend a whole lot of money on tennis shoes, it seemed like. We had 3 growing boys and other stuff, equipment and things that we need, some personal items for the family, some for ministry. And so we want to support that with a great offering today. You can give now, or you can go to the website if you want to, or you can get a check to the church tonight. You can come tonight or tomorrow, but we'd like to make this a great offering. And you're such a wonderful people. You know that the giving that we've raised, the money we've raised over this last year, means that there are now local missionaries, local pastors going into areas where the gospel is not being preached. And that's what this our special offerings have been for the work in Southeast Asia. And in the next few days or weeks, if you want to continue to give and support us through this through the end of our fiscal year, please continue to give in the same way. You're such a generous people, and we thank you for all that you do for missions. Now we're going to have our ushers come down, and I think we have some musicians coming in a minute, but first we're going to have our video that will show this conference. Father, bless this offering in your name. May it be generous, may it be used in ways that are good for your kingdom. And again, thank you for your servant that came to speak to us today. Amen.
All these pieces, broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your life in me. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Take our failures, you take our weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay. Come on, so take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to, come on, we sing, your life.
Reverend Bill, again, for coming and sharing this morning. So grateful to have you with us. And I hope you see the beauty of what we get to be a part of, even in our worship and our giving and our life here as a church, the joy it is that we are part of a church family that knows no borders, that extends to all places, and that we get to hear the stories of how God is moving powerfully. But I also want to encourage you this morning that this should be a bit of a mirror for us that we look into, that what God is doing there, he can also do here. And that what God calls ordinary people to do there in obedience to him, he calls us to do as ordinary people here in our midst. And we know and we pray and we hope that it's in our hearts that what God is doing through the world, we also need in our city. And if you feel ordinary or if you feel lowly this morning and incapable of being a part of something like that, the heart of our message is that God takes ordinary people and transforms them to bring about his kingdom in the world. And so listen to this prayer from Paul as a benediction. I invite you to stand as you are able and receive these words as a benediction this morning. This is why I kneel before the Father. Every ethnic group in heaven or on earth has recognized him by him. And I ask that he will strengthen you in your inner selves from the riches of his glory through the Spirit. I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith as a result of having strong roots in love. I ask that you'll have the power to grasp love's width and length, height and depth, together with all believers. And I ask that you'll know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge, so that you will be filled entirely with the fullness of God. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and always. Amen. Go in his peace this morning.